is John from the FreeGiftFromGod.com podcast. The subject that I'm going to start today, or the series of subjects I'm going to start today, is one I've mentioned a few times over the past few podcasts, and this is the Salvation Road. And what I want to do today is I want to give you an overview of what this Salvation Road process is all about, or what I've called Salvation Road. Now, the learning objectives here today are to get some idea of the path ahead in the coming lessons, to see how the training material over the next few months is organised, and to understand why we began with the foundations before going here. So this lesson in overview is designed to give you some understanding of the path ahead as the next 44 or so weeks of these sessions will provide a pathway to follow. This pathway that I've called Salvation Road leads from the worldly state of man born in sin to eventually reach the place where a person is walking in the love of God. It's a long journey, and in fact a person may not even complete the journey in their lifetime. However, it will, if followed, lead to a greater awareness of what is required as Christians to enter God's eternal kingdom. And the other thing that this does is it puts a structure around Christianity. It takes away a lot of the let's just love everybody kind of approach that's taken in some places. And some people, they study the Bible, but they just don't know quite how to connect the dots. And so what the purpose of this is to try and connect the dots so that you can see this pathway and this progression. Because Jesus tells us that we are to walk with him. And so I've looked at this in terms of a walk, you know, how we walk. So in overview, this pathway that this Salvation Road follows is built around walking, as we are called to walk with the Lord. In this series of sessions, I've identified five stages in the walk we undertake from sinfulness to life. The sessions that will follow will lead you progressively along this pathway from beginning to end. Now, there may be many other things you need to learn and understand, for this journey is very much about the individual. So, as such, I have not covered many things that are part of the wider teachings of Christianity. For example, I don't look at things like church structure and eldership and healing, Bible prophecy, gifts, and so on. What I'm concerned about here is with what an individual needs to learn to understand and do to walk the path with the Lord. At another time, I may cover all of those other topics, but it's too much for now and not relevant yet to the goals of this series. In this section of this course, I've focused on the five identified walks, especially as they relate to how this relates to how we are walking with Jesus at that point. And I'll mention this as we go along. I must also add, though, that although I've put these into a distinct order for teaching this process, they may not necessarily happen in this same process. The structure is more about what I see as a structured approach to walking with Christ, but it's very much about the individual, and some individuals will receive or do or need some of the later gifts and may be more attuned to those things in the Lord than some of the earlier things. So even though I've got it as a linear path, it may not be linear in the way that the Lord and the Holy Spirit actually lead any specific individual. I've done it this way just for the purpose of trying to identify a structure and to wrap some teachings around that structure. So the first of these five walks that I'm speaking about is walking in the world. And this is the starting point for all mankind. All mankind are walking in the world. We are born into this world, we walk in this world. All mankind is born under the power of sin, and all people start out as sinners before coming to Christ Jesus. So while a person is walking in the world, in relation to Jesus Christ, they are walking without Jesus. The people of the world have no connection with Jesus as they live lives focused on the things of this world. They're driven by human passions, the human lusts and desires and emotions, all of which do not lead to Christ. Inevitably, it is not until a person begins to question their life and to wonder what more there may be to life than the acquisition of material possessions, for instance, the love of money or the simple need to survive, that they begin to seek Jesus and a better life. So that's walking with the world or walking in the world, and it's walking without Jesus. The second stage in this walk that I've identified is walking in hope. This is when a person begins to seek a better life. And if they seek Jesus, they find that there is indeed a better life and a better way to live. They may not have made a decision to follow Jesus at this point, but they are starting along the road. Thus, when they find this first glimmer of hope, they begin walking towards Jesus. So walking in hope is about walking towards Jesus. Hope is a tremendous motivator, and without hope, nothing would change. Hope is what drives people to seek a better life, and it's hope that brings people to Jesus, the hope of salvation from the evil in this world. And this lifts and encourages people to seek God. The third part of this walk, or the third of these walks that I've identified, is walking in faith. So when a person makes a decision to come to Christ, they then move into the next phase. They find faith, and they learn to walk in their faith in Jesus Christ. Faith underpins everything in Christianity, for without faith, we can't please God. It's faith that enables God's grace to work his power in us to change our lives from sinfulness to godliness. And while we begin the walk in faith, it's one thing that will continue throughout our Christian walk. And that's another point about this this whole process that I'm commencing today, is that just because one stage finishes, just because we move from one stage to the next, doesn't mean that the previous stage finishes. In fact, we, in many cases, carry those things through, like faith. Faith, we begin with faith, and that carries through. We start with hope, and that carries through. Repentance carries through. When we get to baptism, though, baptism is only one thing that we do, and we only do it once, but the faith teachings for baptism carry on through. Many of these things will continue on. In relation to where we stand with Jesus when we're talking about walking with faith, at this point we begin walking with Jesus. And as we learn, we follow Jesus as we walk with him, for he must lead and we must follow his directions. If we step aside from him and his teachings, faith may fail and we will go in the wrong direction. So we have to hold fast to our first faith and continue the walk with Jesus. The fourth part of this walk that I've identified is what I call walking in the Spirit. And in many of my previous podcasts, and if you've read anything on my website, I talk quite a bit about walking in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is the next critical step in our walk. Many Christians don't take this step, and many don't understand what it is. Walking in the Spirit is the process where the work of transformation commences. It allows the Holy Spirit to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ, slowly but surely. Walking in the Spirit is how we overcome sinfulness in ourselves and how we take control of the passions, the lusts, the desires and emotions of our human nature that will lead us to do wrong. In relation to Jesus, then, walking in the Spirit means we commence walking in Jesus. It's because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So Jesus dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. So we are then also dwelling in Jesus. So we are walking in Jesus when we're walking in the Spirit. This might be a bit difficult to understand right now, but it will make more sense as we work through the lessons and the sessions and the podcasts and get to the sections that cover this in more detail. It's important to learn and understand this, for it's not well understood by many in the churches and by many Christians. As a result, many Christians suffer unnecessarily because they are not fully equipped to handle the problems that arise when they arise. The final stage, the fifth stage of this walk with Jesus, is what I've called walking in love. This final stage of the walk is when we learn how to walk in love and live in the love of God. And by love, I'm not talking about some mushy thing that you see out of Hollywood. I'm talking about the love of God, which is described probably best in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The aim of the teachings, the doctrine, and the gifts God gave man is to bring Christians to maturity in Jesus Christ. His plan is to have people learn how to live and how to think and how to act as Christ would under all circumstances, not just some, under all circumstances. Jesus Christ bears the stamp of the nature of God, and the nature of God is love, because God is love. The aim of the walk we take as Christians with Jesus, then, is to be transformed into the image of Jesus and thus into the image of God the Father, who is love. And this is, as I mentioned before, this is not love as humans express it, which in many cases through the media is more akin to lust. It's not an emotional love, but a behavioural love. It's about doing right, always. It's about goodness and compassion and mercy and justice. And these are the things of God's love, and there are many, many more. So in relation to how our walk with Christ progresses at this stage, we begin, when we're walking in love, we begin walking as Jesus walked. That is, when we come into the image of Jesus Christ, we are so like him that we make our decisions as he would. We choose the right thing because it's right and because our nature is so transformed that we are like him. This is the goal for all Christians, to be in the image of Jesus Christ. And it's a long walk. It may take many, many years. And as I said a little earlier, we may not even reach this stage in our lifetime. But the Lord has prepared for that too, and I'll talk about that at a later time. Let's just talk about the progression. One thing you may think is that if it's all about love, why not just love one another, as some people have said? Why not just focus on being a kind and loving person? Well, it'd be great if we could just jump straight to the end without having to walk the walk, but it doesn't work that way. It's not possible to move to the next stage until the previous stage has been put in place. If I go back to the start, for example, could you imagine a person walking in sin and doing the wrong things to turn completely around and always do what is good in the sight of God, that is, to walk in love? How could they when they don't even know the difference between good and evil? So it's a progression. And even when you get to the latter part of these walks, you still need to follow the progression. You can't walk in love until you can walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit until you can walk in faith. These are not mutually exclusive. And in the end, all of these walks, apart from the walk in sin, will be working together. That's not to say you may not begin with one of the latter walks before the earlier ones are perfected, which I mentioned earlier. There surely will be some overlap, but perfection takes time. And that's the aim, to be perfect in the sight of God. So in summary, this is the path that we will follow over the next 40 or so sessions. It may actually be more than 40, as I may choose to expand on some of the more tricky ones and the more critical ones to ensure the full message comes through. Also, I recommend you read your Bible always. You need to be immersed in the Word of God, for then the Holy Spirit can do his job, as stated in John 14, verse 26, which says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit can't bring to your remembrance something that's not there. And if you read the account of Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you'll see that Jesus defeated all of the devil's attacks by quoting scripture. To each attack, Jesus replied, "It is written," and then he continued on to defeat the devil's attacks. That's where you and I need to be able to get to as well. And if you want to look at that that scripture about Jesus in the wilderness, it's in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And so too, the Holy Spirit can help you with the right scripture when the occasion calls for it, when you have learned, studied, and immersed yourself in it. I don't mean memorize it all, but you need to read it, you need to become familiar with it. You need to understand what the scripture says. So finally, let me say this, in this set of sessions, they'll help you in many ways, but it's no replacement for reading and studying and learning and understanding and seeking the truth of God through reading your Bible. The foundations material were necessary to give you a grounding before we start into the walk. The foundations are critical because without a solid foundation, you can't build the house, which is the house of the Lord, upon a foundation. You can't be built as a brick into the house of God unless you have a solid foundation upon which you can build. And so those foundations, they're the key. And if those foundations are strong, then the rest will come. So here's a couple of questions to consider. Firstly, are you prepared to walk and seek the fullness of the truth that is needed to walk with Jesus? Secondly, do you have a Bible or a Bible reading or study plan to help immerse yourself in the Word of God? If you don't, I'd recommend you start with Matthew, start in the New Testament, because that's where Jesus is. Jesus is in the New Testament, and we come to God through Jesus. So start in the New Testament. That could be a call to action. Begin reading the Bible, starting with the New Testament. Read as much or as little as you choose each day, say a chapter at the most, and stop and think about what the words are saying after each sentence or paragraph. Now, what you'll find is that sometimes a chapter is going to be too much. I mean, when you get to Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which is where the Sermon on the Mount is, sometimes a paragraph will be enough to stimulate your thinking. And you need to think about, what is it that he's actually saying in these words? So read as much or as little as you choose each day. And finally, revise all of the foundation materials that I gave in the last few podcasts to get an insight. If you want to know more about the foundations, you can get onto my website, freegiftfromgod.com, and go into the resources section, and I have some ebooks up there. I have one that talks about the six foundations of Christianity. You can download it in PDF form for free. All you've got to do is give me your email address. If you don't want to do that, then you can buy it on Amazon. You can find it. It's called The Six Foundations of Christianity. And if you go onto Amazon, it'll cost you the grand sum of 99 cents because I can't put it up there for zero, unfortunately, and I've yet to work out how to do that. Otherwise, I'd have it up there for zero. But if you don't want to give me your email address, that's fine. That's cool. Go and have a look on Amazon for 99 cents. That's 99 cents American. And whatever that translates to into your own local currency is what you'll need to pay for it. And you can download it in Amazon format or Mobi format. So revise all of the foundation materials to get an insight into those because they're crucial to your walk and they'll help you understand other things as we move on. And we'll cover some of those foundation teachings again. That's how important they are as we go forward. We'll cover some of those, perhaps in different perspectives, but we'll certainly cover those things again. Spend a moment in prayer now and ask the Lord to guide you as you study the Salvation Road pathway so that you can see the way forward and learn what he wants you to know. Not what I want you to know, what he wants you to know. Because I'm only a guide. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And the Lord will take you on the journey that he has set in place for you. And it's a different journey to what mine is and what mine will be. So I can be a guide, but the real teacher is the Holy Spirit. So spend a moment in prayer and ask the Lord to guide you through the Holy Spirit. In the next lesson, we're going to begin looking at the first parts of this Salvation Road. We're going to be looking at walking the world or walking without Jesus. And as I said, it'll start in a few dark places, but stick with us. And over the next few podcasts, we'll move into some better things as we travel along. So until next time, may God bless you and keep you. And I hope you join me once again.